God alone knows the hearts and motives of people. Pastor Jeff says keep that in mind in your dealings with others.
But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's an encouragement. You know, remember how you were? And yet remember what God did with you? And how God restored you? This is an encouragement. Yes, we are to judge, make decisions about certain situations in the body of Christ, but don't condemn. This is God's part to bring final condemnation. And He knows the hearts and the motives, doesn't He? God does. We don't.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
The Lord said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." It's become one of the most misused and misunderstood statements ever uttered by Jesus. You'll hear that phrase often invoked to excuse all sorts of bad behavior. But is that an accurate usage of the Lord's words? Is Jesus saying we're to refrain from exercising judgment and discernment? We've come to the 7th chapter of Matthew here today on Sound Doctrine, where Jesus takes on the subject of judging others and the right and wrong way of going about it. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
There is a huge difference between being critical and being hypercritical. And I think this word judging is hypercritical. You're being a fault finder now, or a sin sniffer. You know, you just, I sense a fault here. Or I smell a sin, you know. Like, who are you? Well, I'm just here to judge you. Well, thanks a lot. You know, I mean, these people hear these people and they just turn off. It's so contrary to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it's long-suffering, doesn't exalt itself. That's so positive. But this spirit is negative. It hopes for the worst. Over in Romans chapter 14, in verse 10, listen to what Paul says here. He says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." What are you doing judging your brother? You're going to be standing before the throne of God yourself. Be careful. And then he goes on in verse 13 and says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So avoid the spirit of rejoicing when someone else falls. And you know you've got that critical spirit or hypercritical spirit when you hear of another brother or sister falling in sin and you get happy. Or if you've got that envious or jealous spirit about you, that you're jealous or envious of them, and to hear of their fall brings you joy. Can you imagine? But it happens all the time. If a brother repents, and here, you know, sometimes I think this attitude is, hey, you know what? Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. I've already judged the brother or that sister's. Yeah, that's it. That's the way they are. That's who they are, you know. And you're trying to share with them what's going on and they're not even listening. No, we are to forgive and we are to forget. And you say, yeah, but what about, you know, come on. You can't be so open like that. Yes, you can. In fact, yes, I have made mistakes. I have forgiven. And I have allowed someone to enter in and take on more or whatever. And yes, I've been dumped on. And yes, that person's turned their back on me. Yes, you know, and they showed their real colors, okay? But I would rather, you know, blow it in the area when I'm here giving out mercy and grace than have a critical spirit against them and judge them so severely. Because I know me. I know my heart. And it helps us when we're dealing with this hypercritical attitude. And we're going to get there. Don't worry about it. You know, about your heart and my heart. Over in Luke's gospel, Jesus is talking about this when he talks about the emphasis of different judgment. And it says here in Luke 9, verse 54, he says, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, you know, they were talking about the Samaritans, and they said, Lord, can we put fire down upon them from heaven and consume them right now, as Elijah did? This would be great. Lord, come on, give us this power so we can just snuff them. And Jesus turned around to them and said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Wrong spirit, guys. That's not what I came to do, snuff everybody out. And that's not what it's all about. Jesus came to save lives. Jesus came to help those that are caught up in sin and in homosexuality and in fornication. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, don't you know that those that are unrighteous, messing around with sex before marriage, those that are worshiping idols, those that are abusers with themselves, with mankind, homosexuality, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He makes it very clear. But then he says this. Listen, this is in 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's an encouragement. You know, remember how you were? And yet, remember what God did with you and how God restored you? This is an encouragement. Yes, we are to judge, make decisions about certain situations in the body of Christ, but don't condemn. This is God's part to bring final condemnation. And he knows the hearts and the motives, doesn't he? God does. We don't. Then let's go back and let's look at this. In chapter 7, in verse 2 now, as Jesus continues, he says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you mete out, it shall be measured to you again. So these are continuing reasons for not judging. And if you start judging this way, you're going to set yourself up, is what he's saying. As you judge, so will you be judged. That's why Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, what? Mercy. Wow, why did he tell us to do that? Because he knows this whole thing about however you dish it out, it's going to be dished out to you. That's just the way it is. And if we would believe this, do you realize how radically it would change our attitude towards looking at others? I mean, if we were to really believe this, it would change the way we talk about people. Totally, radically. Which is needed. But he's speaking here of God's judgment. Over in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, let me read it to you. Continuing on with this thing, he says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring it to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So God is going to bring forth judgment. But wait a minute. What's this all about? That there's judgment for the Christian? I thought that in John, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, truly I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Good news. And shall not come into condemnation. No judgment. I thought, I'm not appointed to condemnation. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment against me. Well, wait a minute. Before you jump to conclusions here, there are three types of judgment in the scriptures. Three types. Number one, there is the doctrine of the final and eternal judgment. That's one judgment. Final and eternal judgment. Number two, There is the judgment to God's children. What do you mean, Jeff? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when dealing with communion, do you remember that? Because they did not discern the Lord's body? Because they did not take into account all that God did, but just came together and started feasting together, and they called it communion? There were many sick and what? That had died. That's serious. You bet it is. It's true. The Bible teaches that God chastens his children. Does he do it by allowing us to have sickness sometimes? Anybody found that out? Sometimes, you know, he just allows us to go through some physical times to get our attention. Oh, I lost my job. Oh, God would never do that to me. Oh, yeah? If he's testing your faith, he would. He would allow it to take place, wouldn't he? To get your attention. How about marriage problems? Do you think God allows that? Why would he allow that? To get you guys to work on your marriage? And your heart towards one another? Your love towards one another? You bet. God chastens us. Even church discipline. To see you come around. To be able to judge yourself. To condemn the sin that you are in. To escape the judgment that is upon you. So that's another judgment. And then the third one is the judgment seat of Christ, or the judgment of awards, or you might call it the Christian award ceremony. And that's when all Christians are going to be judged and given to those things that they've done with the Lord. And this is over in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. What was your motive? Why did you do what you did? And everything's going to be judged perfectly, and rewards are going to be given out at that time. So what we do, how we do it, actually even puts us up in our place in eternity as far as, you know, how eternity is going to treat us. Over in 2 Timothy 1, verse 16, listen to what Paul says here. He says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he has refreshed me and was not ashamed for my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me." He says, "The Lord show him mercy." And he was talking about at that day. At that day. Give him mercy, Lord. Bless him in all his rewards. This is why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Knowing, you know, that God is this way. We walk circumspectly. We walk carefully. We walk humbly before our God. Revelation says that those who die as believers, their works are going to follow them to be judged. So as Christians, we're subject to judgment, aren't we? In many different areas. So what is he saying? Well, be very careful how you live your life. Just because you're a Christian now doesn't mean that there's no judgment upon your life. There's all kinds of different things going on. We're not going to be judged eternally, because we're eternally blessed in the Lord. Because we're abiding in Christ, we're saved. That's good news. But there's other things going on. So our judgment is what he's saying here. Sets a standard for us to be judged by. You say, what? Over in Luke chapter 12, Jesus speaking here says, "And to that servant which knew his Lord's will," he knew better, prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, "shall be beaten with many stripes." And then he goes on in verse 48, he says, "But he that knew not and did commit such things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more." So the responsibility of knowing versus not knowing. Incredible. "For what light you know, you will be judged with." This is why Paul, talking to those in Rome in chapter 2, says, "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judges another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, you're doing the same things. And we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So who are you to be judging, in that when you're judging, you're pointing, you got three coming right back at you. You're doing the very same thing. Jesus, in talking about this issue, says in John 9 and verse 41, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." You know better. You know what's going on. And then over in John 15, in verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak or cover for their sin." Why? Because Jesus said, "I came. Because I came, you know. Because you know, you're responsible for what you know." James says teachers receive the greater condemnation because of what they're doing. Do you remember with David and Nathan? David, when he heard the story, and Nathan had to give it to him diligently and very sensitively, because David had committed murder and adultery. And so Nathan comes up and gives him this story about this man who had a little pet sheep, and this guy who had many sheep went to this man's house, just ripped his sheep out of the house. I mean, this is a sheep that all the kids named. It was a pet. And he took it and he killed it and gave it to his visitor instead of taking one of his sheep. And David was so angry. He said, "This man will die." Capital punishment for taking a sheep? Man, you're judging pretty harsh there, David. And then Nathan pointed at David and said, "Thou art the man." Now, David wasn't going to die, and God promised him that. But his son would die, and the sword would be against his family, and his sons would all grow up to seek after his life, seek to murder him, and they would all die a very violent death. So the way we judge, it's going to be given back to us. May God apprehend our hearts. Again, in Romans 2, in verse 21, "Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, you're dishonoring God. For the name of God," Paul says, "is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written," because of the way you're living your lives. You preach one thing and you do another, and they see it, and people will always see it. And they just turn off to God and to everything. They blaspheme God because of it. Now, our final reason why not to judge, verse 3. Let's look at it. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Oh, let me pull out the mote out of your eye,' and behold, a beam is in your own eye, you hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Really, what is he saying? At many times, we're totally incapable of judgment. In fact, we're incapable of it. Why? Because we're flawed individuals ourselves. We're fallible individuals. We're fallen individuals. If we're to judge correctly, we must be as critical of ourselves. And this is talking about kind of a perpetual autopsy of our own being, you know? Always realizing who and what you are. Because so many times it's easy to cover your sin and to look at others and say, "Oh, man, that's bad." And you could, you know, kind of just look at you and say, "Well, I just, you know, this is something, a little weakness in my life." No, you judge yourself first. First, you receive forgiveness and mercy from the Lord for your sin. Interesting, the mote that he's talking about here. A lot of people go, "What's a mote?" You know, it's just a little sliver. It's a foreign object. It shouldn't be there. But because of your 2x4 hanging out of your eye, can you imagine somebody going into a house with a huge, beam in their own eye and just coming in and trying to help somebody else, just wiping out lamps and all kinds of dishes on the walls and just destroying the house and just saying, "Now I'm here to help you." It's kind of an interesting view. Notice this, though, that both of these things, the mote, the sliver, and the beam, are made of the same material. So now, not one's worse than the other. They're both sin. It's interesting. This is the only time these words are used, beam and mote, in the Scriptures. This guy's like a blind optometrist, Here, let me help your eye, I help you to see. He's blind, Get out of here. Verse 4 is interesting. Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Well, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye." You can't help anyone because of your own problem. It's like the blind leading the blind. We see so clearly the faults of others, and they look so ugly, and they're so hideous, and we're so angry that they're doing this. And yet, not understanding that the very same thing that you're looking at, that you hate so much, is a part of your life. That's how come you recognize it, and that's how come you hate it, because you wrestle with it so much. And that's what he's talking about. We have this self-righteousness, though, that seems to, do away with it, that we can begin to start judging a person or saying that we're going to help them with their life, in that we're wrestling so much with our own. You see, it is a big deal to you because it is a big deal in you.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. He'll be right back with more from Matthew chapter 7. Here's our toll-free number, which you can use to order this study on CD and other helpful resources from us. It's 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. We also house all of our Matthew messages online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Now you can take Sound Doctrine with you wherever you go, through the Sound Doctrine Podcast. Search for Sound Doctrine Podcast in your favorite app store. And it's also available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Hey, how's your devotional life going these days? Could it use a kickstart? Allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired Word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Authored by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Rees, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many more. Just give us a call at 800-353-7553, or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Your financial support is not only needed at this time, but would be very much appreciated. Think of your donation as an investment in the lives of listeners all around the world, who make it their aim to build their lives on sound doctrine contained in God's Word. So thank you very much for linking arms with us. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click Give. Or call 800-353-7553. Now back to our Bible study. Pastor Jeff?
Then Jesus says, notice, he says, "You're a hypocrite. You're an actor. You're acting. You're just being you're being haughty." He says, "First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Your real concern is not so much helping, but you're into condemning. And it's, again, the spirit is when you get glad when you find out about somebody's caught up in something, you say, "Now, oh, this is great. Now I can confront them with it." And if you have that attitude, then it's the wrong self-righteous spirit. No, Jesus says, no, you need to first deal with your beam in your eye, your haughty spirit, your attitude towards this issue. This hypercriticism, this can be a beam in your eye, being hypercritical of everyone around you. but not dealing with that issue in your heart. Because once you begin to see the sin in your life, that is very humbling. You begin to perceive and look at others differently as you know how God looks at you and what you're doing. A condemning spirit is an awful sin. And so Jesus says, you need to deal with it. You need to face yourself and admit the truth about yourself. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's a good verse.
Is discrimination scriptural? We'll consider that very question next time on Sound Doctrine when Pastor Jeff returns to the Sermon on the Mount. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,